What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to six guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Welcome to the Songwriter Connection Podcast, where we look at the craft of songwriting through the eyes of the songwriter. Each week, we make a connection with a music maker, listen to their songs, and hear their stories. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Lenihan.
I'll tell you something kind of funny behind the scenes thing. I don't like to edit because I'm lazy, but there's a reason. I wanted this show to be so much like my own radio show and a thing we did called 5 o'clock Friday. And, I wanted to invite people in and play their music live on this podcast. And so we did a thing called Live Tape, which I did in television way back in the day when I worked in Youngstown. They gave us a half hour to do our show. And if you messed up, it didn't matter. That's it. It's the way it was, you know. I've never been that strict. I mean, I can edit if I want to. And when you make a mistake real early in the podcast, you can start all over again and you don't have to worry. And so this is take two. And I will tell you that this is episode number 155 episodes. And up until this point, we've had 154 episodes of songwriting as a craft and the lessons behind the song. Today, we're going to focus in on the business side of songwriting and how to make money, how to make even more money from your little babies. And we're going to talk about that. But before I do, I want to plug a podcast from a new friend. Bob Bender has this show called The Business Side of Music. And if you haven't discovered it yet, it is really a great podcast. So many interesting guests. He has a video podcast. And I was really proud to have been a guest this past week. I'm not sure when it's going to air because he, like me, we tape in advance and leave time for editing and things like that. So, but I'll keep you posted on that. In the meantime, check that podcast out. Bob's got an amazing podcast. And you've been on it, Nancy.
Yes.
Nancy Dickin, haven't you?
Yeah. Yes, I did. Maybe about 2 years ago. 2021.
You guys need to go back. And we've got Nancy and we've got Bill O'Hanlon, the past guest, and a first-time guest. Leslie Bowe, and we're going to talk about this new book today. This is a book that, I'm telling you what, you're a songwriter, this is a book you got to have. You have to have this book, The Songwriter's Guide to Protecting Your Songs and Collecting Your Money. And I'll bet you've got a lot of questions, like me, and I've been doing this for a little while, and I'm reading this book, and I didn't know that. Really? Are you kidding me? So thanks, you guys, for doing this. And let me just go around the table and introduce you all. Leslie Bowe, I know the least about you. I know you come from Pittsburgh. And since I come from Cleveland, I know we can still be friends because we have been.
Yes. Well, Youngstown's close enough.
Youngstown's close enough. Worked a little while there. yeah, but this isn't your first book. You've had another book, right?
Well, I had an e-book.
An e-book? Mm-hmm.
Which actually was the precursor. Actually, that was one of the in common things that Bill and I had when we met at the Red Door, which we'll get into that, I'm sure, a little bit later.
Okay.
But yes, it's just an ebook, but I wanted something that was just very, very short, quick, to the point. I didn't want anything in depth because I knew it would take a lot of time to put something together that thorough.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted something really, really quick. And so, yes, I did that. And, but it's very, very, it touches the surface of what this book.
You're an amazing songwriter. You've got CDs out there that are available and songs and cuts and things. And, so we appreciate you being on the show. Later on, we're going to make you play one of those songs because you have to have songs on the songwriter and actually have to play them.
Thanks, Dave.
Now, Nancy Deckett has been on this show a couple times. In fact, one of the most listened to episodes that we have had on this podcast, audio-wise, Has been Nancy's, as we talked about Discover Sooner, her great organization. Nancy's also a cut songwriter and a publisher. You had a song crack the top 40 in country radio, which is what a thrill.
Yes.
So it's good to have you back. Nancy Deccan.
Hey, thanks, Dave. So yeah. Nice to be back here again.
This is your first book, right?
This is my first book. Yeah. I am the virgin between the two of these two guys. I know. And what a great group.
I hope you still respect us.
I
Mom.
Yeah. I hope you do too.
In the morning. Well, you know, I never dreamt of really doing this. I knew I wanted this information out there, and Bill and I had been talking about doing something like this. And we knew we were going to, I guess, eventually get there. But when the opportunity came up with between Bill and Leslie, Bill said, why don't you jump in? And I said, okay, yeah, let's do it. And cool. Little did I know.
What a team. What a team. Bill O'Hanlon is back with us. And Bill here in a couple of weeks is going to have a show where we're going to focus on his songwriting career. But today, we're going to talk about the business of music. And Bill, this is your 41st book, is it?
41st. I'm no virgin. Let's just say that. I'm well used.
I should tell you that right off the bat, Bill has had 41 books out there now. One got him on the Today Show. Verb to Love. Love is a Verb.
Love is a Verb.
And one that got you on the Oprah Show.
Do One Thing Different. Published by HarperCollins.
If you could do one thing different, what would it be?
Well, write this book. I would go back in time and hand my naive guy who showed up in Nashville, ready to go to be a professional songwriter, this book and say, you need to read this because you're going to leave money on the table and you're going to make some crucial mistakes that are going to mess you up a little and let you know this. Pretty simple stuff, but it's basic and essential. You need to know this.
You caught my wave in the air. That's exactly the answer I wanted you to get.
Oh, there you go.
That was just fantastic.
Yeah, Dave and I are.
Connection right
there. We've written together, and the same thing happens when we co-write. We go, oh, I was going to say that line.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. I'm going to throw this question out. Say I'm a new songwriter, and I've got songs I'm really proud of, but I've never been to Nashville, and I've never had a cut, but I think they're pretty darn good. First thing, I'm afraid that somebody might steal it. What do you think?
Well, first of all, we should define what a cut is, because if you're that new a songwriter,
let's do that.
We all talk in jargon when we get, you know.
Right, we do.
And so do professionals and publishers and labels. And they sometimes say things and you're like, I don't want to ask, but I don't know what that is. So a cut is a recorded song that's released by somebody, you or somebody else. And so, if they don't have any cuts and they need to know. What's the first thing? So
some new writers will say, I got to sell something. I'm selling my songs.
I'm going to sell my songs or someone's going to steal them.
Or somebody's going to steal them.
As a publisher, just about every single month.
Yes, someone's going to steal my songs.
As a publisher, almost every single month, I get an email from someone who says, I'd like to sell you my songs.
Sell you.
Oh, no, honey. I just want to
put that's not the way it works.
Although, you need this book.
Willie Nelson did try to sell his songs early on because he was so destitute.
Yes.
And
50 bucks or something.
$50. And some of his friends would say, Willie, these songs are great. Like, crazy. He wanted to sell it for $50. Yeah. But they said no. And after a while, it was made illegal to sell your song, if you will. Mm-hmm. You know, the writing credits. So we don't sell our songs. We typically license our songs. So that's first thing.
Right.
Second thing is everybody's so worried about somebody stealing their song.
Yes, that's what I'm getting to. Yes.
I will say this. I mean, you know, sometimes it could happen. I'm sure people have taken parts of songs or inspirations or parts of melodies or whatever. We've had court cases about that. But having been in Nashville for 8 years, you can't shove your songs down people's throats. Much less.
I don't think somebody would steal
them. Now, another songwriter might, but probably nobody in the industry would. First of all, they wouldn't want to open themselves a legal thing.
Correct.
Secondly, they hear so many great songs. They don't need to steal your song.
Absolutely.
Well, plus, you know, I think Nashville is different. Mm-hmm. It's a different, I should say, animal.
How do you
than, say, Los Angeles or, you know, New York. You know, here in Nashville, I found, you know, that there is an honor code.
Mm-hmm.
There's a writer's code. And everybody that writes in Nashville, we know you honor the code. If you throw out a song title, even though you can't copyright a song title.
I don't want to talk about that.
Anybody can grab a song title. But, you know, if we throw out different titles in a write, everybody knows that the honor code is I'm not going to write that title that Bill that threw out that we didn't write. Oh, but that's a great title. I'll go write that with somebody else. I mean, that's always a possibility because you can't control it.
If it gets around you did that, you certainly
were not a songwriter.
And it is a little big town because the word does get around if that's your strategy. Yeah.
So I don't know how it is in New York or Los Angeles, but I know that if you're a Nashville writer and you want to write in Nashville, there is an honor.
There is an honor code.
Okay, I want to weigh in on this for just one minute. Yeah. Usually when we're at home from our hometown, like Pittsburgh or Youngstown, Ohio, you're not really probably writing at the level where people are in Nashville are going to be attracted to what your topics are.
Are you saying we have to move to Nashville?
I think, when you come here, though, there is, you can be in a writer's round. I know a case of friends of mine who were in a writer's round and maybe were unconsciously, influenced by a song that was sung in the writer's round. And the next thing you know, they wrote a song that sounded just like that. And a lot of times people don't mean to do that, but they do that. And the next thing you know, this song was playing at a major label level. And the major label is having musicologists in to evaluate. What's real, you have to be kind of
Let me ask you this. Right? As a publisher, have you ever told a writer, I like this song, and here's the thing. Don't play that one out, because I don't anybody.
Yes, I think when you have something that's really unique, you have to guard that. You have to be careful.
Totally agree.
Because people in this town are really good writers, and they will maybe write that title better than you do. So if you got something really great, make sure that you get that song pitched everywhere first. That's my thought.
In Nashville, here we talk about and in songwriting in general, and you've talked about this so many because I've listened to every one of your shows. You know that because I tell you all the time. I come out, I go out every Wednesday, and I take a long walk, and I listen to the podcast. But you can't copyright a title, as you said earlier. Nope. And I think people don't know that. I went to write with two pro songwriters who've written literally thousands and thousands of songs, maybe 5,000 each. Mm-hmm. They're rarely prolific writers. They've been here for years. And I threw out what I thought were my greatest titles and my most unique titles. And I went through 12 of them. And both of them said, written it. And both of them said, I've written that. 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 I'm like, you cannot have written this. I made it up. It was totally unique. And yes, written that. Finally, I came up with two ideas, and it was called Should Have Listened. Mm-hmm. But I had another one called A Month of Sundays. And, and they used both of them in the song. Only one was the title. And I'm like, you used up two of my titles, and you went through 12 before that. So people do write the song with the same title. That's different from stealing a song.
Right.
If you really want to...
You can't copyright an idea, right?
You can't copyright an idea. It's the form of the idea. Right. It's the melody and the lyrics and the rhythm and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I mean, there are occasionally I have an idea, I think that is a winner of an idea, and I'm not going to play that song out until it gets out there in some way that I've established that. But of course, what we cover in our book, The Songwriter's Guide to Protecting Your Songs, Collecting Your Money, is when do you copyright a song? Because it costs, we're talking the United States here, it costs some money to copyright a song. Is it worth it? Again, most of the time, nobody's going to want to steal your song. It's got to be super amazing, and the hook has to be amazing. But there are times when you do want to copyright your song.
And when is that?
Okay. Well, as I recently learned, because I wrote this part of the book.
That's right. Nancy took this on.
Oh, my God. Honestly, there were so many things that I learned, but there's a window. Usually, the typical thinking is, I don't want to spend that $65 usually you start when you put the song out. We're writing with independent artists all the time. Right. They decide they're going to record and release the song. And we go, okay, now's the right time to do it. And then you start thinking about that $65 and it's looking bigger all the time.
How important
it
is.
It used to be $35. Right? Now it's $65. Exactly. Oh, my God.
And you can do it in the catalog, but it makes it harder to find, right?
That's
you
right.
You can, yeah.
And, you know, so we put it off. And we'll wait until, you know, millions of people have listened to it. And usually it'll take months, years maybe for that to happen. Yeah. And I've just learned that if you don't copyright that song in the first 3 months of it being released or publicly performed, mm-hmm. then you start losing
some protections.
Not really? Everything, but no. You were like,
you still own the song, but there are certain statutory rights that are that are automatically due you if you do that in a timely manner. Right. So if you've got a song that's out, most pro songwriters in town do not copyright the song until it's released. But as soon as it's released, that day, because it doesn't always happen, they'll say, oh, you got a cut on so-and-so, and then the album will come out, and it's like, no, you didn't get a cut on so-and-so. We've heard that story a thousand times.
Right.
But when it actually comes out, that day the publishers copyright the song.
Okay. Yeah. Let me ask you this. I've always heard that the day you write that song, it's you have the copyright. Is that true?
Okay, yes. Yeah, so you do have a copyright, but you have to register that title and
so
that
when
song.
You say copyright to the government, you are registering what you already have.
With the copyright office.
It's registered.
Yeah.
Because you have the intellectual property.
Right.
Right? At the time of, you know, that you write it.
Right.
But as far as the government's concerned, it's when it's registered.
We can have a whole another conversation on that.
Which we won't.
And which we're not even going to go.
You don't want to go deep into the weeds. I think it's an important point. Let's just clarify this. As soon as the song is put in a fixed form, that could be a Google Doc that you share with your co-writers, could be you record a work tape on your iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as it's in a fixed form, it is copyright according to 1978 copyright law in the U.S., and it's a sort of informal copyright, and you'd have to prove that in court. So, you know, if you have you know, stuff from the session you did, work tapes and writing process tapes, which you sometimes record while we're doing it.
Yeah.
Those are time stamps. Mm-hmm. You could probably prove it. But if you go through that formal process and you go to court, and because somebody did steal your song, it's way easier to prove it if you've got that date of copyright and it's automatic.
Yeah.
It's a big fine, actually, an automatic. You don't have to prove damages. It's just an automatic fine for copyright infringement. So best to do it if you've got a song you think has potential and is out in the world. Always best to do it in a timely manner.
That's good. It's nice. Important stuff to talk about.
And that's for lyrics and music. Then you have the sound recording, mm-hmm. which is the actual... The
record.
Right,
the record. It's the actual recording.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, they, you know, how it was played, the instrumentation.
They don't have records anymore, Dave. You're an old guy.
Yeah.
No, they do. They have vinyl occasions.
Oh, yeah, records. Yeah.
We still call them records, you know, in the business.
Size, yeah. Recordings is probably a better way to say it these days.
Yes.
Sound recordings.
Yeah.
What else do you want to know, Dave?
Let's go deep. Let's not go
too far in the weeds, but let's definitely.
I've got these songs, and I want them to make money. So, I mean, would you say, Dave, I think you should have a PRO. And what is a PRO?
Go for it, you guys.
Performing Rights Organization.
Right.
That's, you know, that's going to be for your performing rights.
Okay.
Stuff is played on the radio. You know, and there's also, you know, BMI Live, ASCAP on Stage.
If somebody plays it live, you are an artist.
Yeah,
that's right. You're an artist.
Okay, and if you play your song out live, obviously you can register that song that you played it and where you played it. But what's really cool, too, mm-hmm. is that if you know someone else played it, you can register that song.
Yep.
That was played at that or at that facility or where that venue.
Well, I was saying this to Dave a while ago. You know, I was on Facebook and some songwriter put out, "Hey, is it really important to claim my BMI Live?" And ASCAP has a similar thing, and CSAC has a similar thing in the U.S. And there are other PROs, those performance rights organizations, in other countries. Is it worth it to register my songs that I played out live? at a round, like a songwriter's round, or I did, you know, something in a restaurant or bar or whatever. Right. And someone said, I pay half my rent with my BMI Lives. I play out 6 nights a week, yep. and I play 4 songs every time I do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes 5, sometimes 3. And I read that and I was like, what? I am leaving money on tape because I'm doing rounds
you
all
are
the time.
If you don't.
And that's the thing. Most songwriters, honestly, mm-hmm. are leaving money on the table. Because every round that you do, like I did a round last night, mm-hmm. I turn that in. Every time that I play, as
I
long as the song...
Religiously.
As long as the song is registered.
It just takes a few minutes.
It does.
And all of a sudden it's money in 3 months or 6 months.
Let me put it this way. Let's say you recorded it and you've got a CD out there.
Yeah.
And they pay you per stream, right? Which is, it's ridiculous. We're not even getting into that. We're not going to... But you will get more money from your BMI or ASCAP on stage,
yes.
BMI Live...
Any day.
Then yes. you will, just getting a stream.
Well,
and a lot more.
As
even
a songwriter.
Even if it's a small venue, 250 or less, you know?
Yes, as a songwriter, because if it's streamed, mm-hmm. it, you know, there's a mechanical license that's going to be issued for the stream, which is the mechanical licensing collective.
Okay, we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
There's another term.
But those are negotiated rates, you know, per streaming company, and right. they're very, 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 should I say, very, 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 very small
yeah.
when it comes to the songwriter.
Less than a half a cent.
Yeah.
Oh.
So
yeah.
you're going to definitely make more money, you know, by BMI Live.
I got you.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. And again, just to talk about the book and why we wrote this. I wanted this book when I came to Nashville because I want to collect... I'm not making that much money for my songwriting yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a psychotic optimist. But I want to make sure I collect every penny that's due to me because
that's right,
I want to support myself as a songwriter, as a musician.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I was leaving money on the table. I still am because having written this book and learned stuff from these two who knew stuff I didn't know, we all get this stuff piecemeal. I'm like, wow, I never claimed that. I've got to go and claim that.
Exactly. Nancy told me when I first got this book, she gave this to me, she goes, page 9, right, Nate? There's
just
all,
go and look at that.
Look at page 9. There's
that is your life, Dave. That will be your
money.
Life. That'll
yes.
be your financial life
yes.
and
it's
your
true.
Legal life yes. as a songwriter.
There's something called the MLC. There's, they're all, how else
can Sound Exchange.
Sound Exchange. Do we need to register with all these, Les? I mean,
and I do want to say, Dave, you know, that while I did say... You know, that the MLC, that the rate you're going to get is yeah. very small. I do want to admit to say that Bart Harbison
mm-hmm.
with NSAI,
mm-hmm.
who is right on the forefront of all of that legislation that led
Good.
To this, that they are fighting every day for songwriters to get those royalties increased. So
That's awesome.
Even though I did say they were small, I do want to say that folks like Bart are actually... out there,
you know,
fighting
March,
to get those increased.
March Representative Rashida Tlaib from Michigan introduced
oh, yeah.
into Congress
yeah. Saw that.
The Living Wage for Musicians Act.
Yeah.
And in it, she talked about the things that really struck me was they want to raise the streaming rate to 1 penny per stream. And I thought, well, that's not a lot.
No.
And it's not. But aren't they at least getting that?
It would seem
no.
like it
no,
seem like riches to us, those
right.
of us who are songwriters getting
sure.
straight.
It's like 0.00048.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then if you've got a co-writer that's split
it,
in half of your
It went up four times
ways.
In the last
yes.
few years, but
yes.
still, it, as
like
I said, it's minuscule.
Whole new can of worms. But
so,
just let me just leave it at this. As she said, in order for a musician to make minimum wage a month,
yes,
a minimum wage... She said you'd have to have 800,000 streams of your song in a month. And
wow.
Boy, I tell you, that's a lot of
yeah.
streams, you know.
So, Nancy, tell us what the MLC is.
Tell us what the MLC is. Well, you know, before that,
yeah.
he talked about mechanical licensing.
Yes.
So, can we talk about the difference between mechanicals, royalties...
And performance.
And performance royalties. So,
yeah.
And then
so,
I'll get to the MLC.
All right. Okay. So, performance royalties are any time that you play your song into a public performance... And it can be streaming, or it can be you performing.
And on the radio? Or,
anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the things that you get paid for are things that are in public. And even on social media, on some ways. Okay, but I don't want to get delayed on that.
Yeah.
But I would say
there's some nuance.
There is, yeah. Right. So, and the other side of that is really like licensing your song to someone to sing and to play it.
Right.
And so,
that's why we don't sell it. We license our song. Right. We still own it, but that's license it.
Right. So the Mechanical License Collective was created out of the MMA law. Mm-hmm. They said, okay, Spotify is putting, you know, when an artist puts their song on Spotify or distributes it digitally, it's not just a public performance. It's also, you have to have the mechanical license that allows you to stream that song out there in the world. And the higher ups, the, you know, like the Spotify's, and said, well, we can't find all these songwriters and publishers to be able to license this song. So, the response from the United States and Bart Herbison and David Israelite from the NMPA, they were like, okay, we'll create this body called the MLC and the Mechanical Licensing Collective, which you will come there and get a license from us, and you will pay us for streams of songs, and we will distribute it to songwriters and publishers. And if you don't have a publisher, you are your own publisher.
Right.
And you have to, anytime an artist commercially releases your song, you need to go and list that song with the MLC. And I will tell you this, that whatever I make on the MLC is probably 10 times whatever I make on my PRO. Because,
really?
Yes.
I'm not there yet.
See, there you go. Right. We knew.
No, I'm on MLC, but I'm not making as much as I
am. Oh, okay.
But, okay, wait, maybe I'm three times. I'll say three times.
Okay, here's the thing. When Nancy said those streaming services, they just put all that money into escrow. They're earning interest from it. Ooh. It's billions of dollars worldwide. And the MLC came along and they said, well, we will have a place where the songwriters can go register themselves and their songs, and they can find them if they're already out there and claim that income.
So it's a claiming tool, which I love.
Despite that, the MLC now, it's only been in existence for a couple of years, is sitting on $500 million of royalties that songwriters haven't claimed yet.
That's right.
That are sitting, and they're making, you know, they're not making interest, they're making interest, but they're not going to take that interest. But instead of Spotify now making the interest and not distributing that money, the MLC has it. They say, please come and get it. That's why we exist. Please register.
We all have a mutual friend who we just talked into joining the MLC because he had a big number one song, and he looked at Spotify. It has over 10, almost 11 million streams. And he goes, I don't think I've collected any of that. I said, well, get on the MLC.
Get on the MLC.
Register it and go to the claim tool.
Got some money.
You got some money.
Yeah.
And so that's just, if when we're talking about mechanical license, that's one side of it. Then you have the other side, which would be the physical sales or the digital downloads.
Okay.
And in that case, then as a songwriter, or a publisher, you're going to issue the mechanical license.
Okay, good.
Okay, so this is, you know...
Go for it, Nancy. I know where you're going.
Okay, so I really was thinking about this today before I came, and I really want to say this. Okay, when we're at home in our, you know, we're in Pittsburgh, and we're from Santa Fe and all that, we're singing our own songs, and then we come to Nashville, and the next thing you know, we are writing with other people.
Right.
And some of us are really great singers, and we are really honest-to-God artists of this craft, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we songwriters, who we are maybe more on the songwriting end, we might be performing, but we are more like songwriters, right? Yeah. And we are here serving these artists, and we are trying to get these artists to cut these songs, right? And then they're all freaked out because they don't understand that, you know, if they do choose to release our song commercially, then they need a mechanical license from us.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes along with a royalty. Mm-hmm. And every, you know, and the way that we, you know, and no one wants to do accounting all day long.
No.
So the way we do it in Nashville, I don't know about New York and LA, is we'd get a, we have artists pay us in advance, 12.4 cents per, you know, like a thousand or 20. Like if you go get a cover song over at Harry Fox, they're going to make you license 2,500 songs at a minimum. And that's wow. That'll end up being like something like $300. But for us, yeah. you know, whatever we our deal is with the artist, maybe it's $1,000, that would be $120. Right? Right?
Exactly.
And they're like, oh my God, I just spent all this money on this track. Right. And now you want $120 yeah. split between yeah. all
because
three of us.
Because we're not going to send in an auditor.
A lot of independent artists don't really understand right. that they need to have a mechanical license.
License
the
song. They think, if I want to record it, I can record it. Well, first of all, there's this thing called the right of first recording. Yes. And we, those songwriters, or the publishers of those songwriters, and we're our own publishers because we're independent songwriters, has to issue a license for that song to be legally released. They can record it. They just can't release it. And so that happened to me recently. Someone recorded my song. I found out about it. They didn't contact me. Hmm. I found out about it, and I said, well, I need to issue a mechanical license. You need to give me an advance. And he and ghosted me. That was it. I never heard it. The song never came out. Same producer was working with another artist about 8 months later, and I saw on Facebook, because he tagged me, hey, I did this song, you know, Bill O'Hanlon and a couple of other co-writers, right? Danny Myrick and Hal O'Dell. And I'm recording it at the end of March. And this was the middle of March. And I'm like, no, you're not recording without permission from us. And so I contacted him. He goes, oh, yeah, the producer just mentioned I needed something like a mechanical license. Do you have one? And I said, yeah, and I need this much money up front. And he was like, I'm glad to do it, sir. He's a very Southern guy. Glad to do it, sir. And he sent me that money, and I distributed it to my other two co-writers. And it's like,
there you go.
I wouldn't have done that before this book, because I thought, oh, well, my song's out there. Isn't that great? You know, but that and $4 will get you a Starbucks, let's just say.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
And, you know, there's agreements you can make. I've had friends that I'll say, yes, you have my permission. Just make sure I get a copy of the CD. Okay,
Okay.
Well, like, but I think if it's if it's a big artist,
it's an outside cut too. You know, it's not my co-writer. Right. It's it's an outside cut, and I think you'll need to be a little more legal with it.
As long as everybody agrees, right?
If
that's what you're going to do, then that's fine.
Right.
Awesome. Yeah, just do what the, take care of the songwriters, who wrote the song. Well, you do.
Because if we don't, there won't be songwriters.
That's very true.
There used to be, I'm sure you've heard this, and we've all heard this. There used to be 4,000 professional songwriters in Nashville, and I hear, I don't know whether it's true because these numbers could be kind of made up, 400 professional songwriters in Nashville now that are getting paid, and some of them not a living wage because we know them and they have outside jobs, including their publishing deal, which pays them a little bit of what they call a draw, a little salary.
Okay, before we get off the topic of mechanical license, I want to bring this up to everybody. In the olden days, 5 years ago,
pre-COVID,
BC,
COVID's the good marker.
In the olden days, selling your catalog was not a big deal. But now, there's been all of this sales of catalogs. And right now, where we're functioning in our peer group, right, we don't have a major label cut. But we may have a major label cut because we're putting all the work into it. That's what our goal is.
Let's get prepared.
And so all of these independent artist cuts, Bill's got over 100. Leslie, I've got over 100, right? I don't have any paperwork. Because that shows that is in my catalog. Mm. So if I have my mechanical licenses with all of my, Dallas, Cindy, everybody who I've ever written with and who has put those songs out, that is bringing value to my catalog. Wow. And Sharon Clark, the admin who reviewed this book, because said, don't you dare put this book out without me looking at this book.
Sharon, thank you, Sharon.
Yes, thanks, Sharon.
The music business has changed, and you may become a very, very, your music catalog may be worth more in the future than it is right now. I know there's just the independent artist cuts. They're small. They don't make a lot of money, but having that piece of paper makes a difference. So no matter what you end up getting paid from your co-writers on this thing, just
have the paperwork.
Have the paperwork there.
Where do you get that?
And in
you might read our book as an example of that.
We're going back to the
book. Should always go to an entertainment lawyer. It's worth it to get, you know, your version of the mechanical license, because we put a version in there that was vetted pretty well, but you should always consult an entertainment. It's not going to cost that much for a one-time consultation. Chuck Allen Floyd's here. He's great.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to do a podcast with him one day.
Yeah. Oh, he's a songwriter and an entertainment lawyer, and he knows both sides of it. So that's why we like him, especially because he really knows his stuff from both sides.
Tell you what, we're going to take a little break. Well, we may not get to songs today, guys. This is a great conversation. I appreciate it. We're talking about this new book that's out there now as we publish this, The Songwriter's Guide to Protecting Your Songs and Collecting Your Money. Don't go away. We've got more to come.
I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Bestseller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection, connecting with music makers and hearing their songs and stories. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
All right, let me ask a real basic question. I'm going to go back. Now, there's two pieces of the pie. We've been talking about the songwriter, and there's also the publishing, right? So it's like, what, half and half? How is it looking today?
Well, it's half and half and then another third.
Explain what you mean.
What are you talking about?
Some people don't know this.
It's totally confusing. When I got here, it was totally confusing because they go, well, I'm in BMI, which is my PRO, the performance rights and so on, and there's, you know, ASCAP and CSAC here in the U.S.
Yeah.
And if you read, I have colleagues who are in ASCAP. If you register a song in BMI, you have two halves of it.
Mm-hmm.
50%, you know, the songwriting, like the lyrics and the music and the melody and the rhythm of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the publishing of it, which used to be sheet music. But now it's just generally, that's the other side. That's the people who license your song. That's the ones who own the rights to it. And so that's kind of the two sides of it. In BMI, we register those with 100% writer side and 100% publisher side.
Yeah.
You go to ASCAP.
It's 50.
And they register at 50-50. So my co-writers are registering 100%. At 50-50 if they write a solo song.
Right.
The math gets really crazy when there's three.
Oh, it really does.
Yeah, there's BMI, 200, and then you're trying to... You know,
200, ASCAP, and you're 100. Trying to... Yeah, it's 100.
Who gets that extra little...
But then there's the other side, which is the performance, right, which we've already talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So you really own... If the song's recorded, you own 300%. A writing side, if you've written it yourself, a publishing side and a performance side, and the recording side.
That's what you mean, though. Yeah. The recording side.
Yes, exactly.
That's
the mechanicals.
Wow. Right. And then if somebody performs that, that's another bit. So, but really, that if the song is recorded and out, you really have three 100% pieces if you have recorded that song, put it yourself, and written it all yourself. And again, it gets complicated if you co-write it, if with one other person, two other people, eight other people, 19 other people, and which happens in pop, I guess.
Yeah.
And if somebody else puts the song out, or if it's a duet, or whatever. So it can get complicated. We've tried to make it as simple as possible in this book because it can get overwhelming. I mean, you just heard me explain that, and I was confused when I got here. Yeah. I was like, what? There are two sides to it? Or there are three sides? What?
Right. Well, and again, we're just speaking for Nashville.
Right.
But in Nashville, typically, if you have three writers, you split it three ways.
Yeah.
I know some folks say, well, I did the majority of the lyrics, so I'm getting 90% of the lyric.
Okay, I will stop in and say that there were three lawyers that helped us with this book.
Yeah.
And they informed me that it's copyright law, that as many people write the book, it's an even Steven share.
Write the song.
That is copyright law. Of course, you can do it any way you want to.
Is it the same with books? No, it's not the same with books. But it may be the same with books, but I don't know. But that's the default, but you can make a different arrangement. But you have to put that.
Yes, you can make a different.
You have to put that in writing. You have
to
negotiate. It
has to be agreed upon,
and probably agreed upon up front, because sometimes then they have to litigate it afterwards if they don't agree. But the nice part about Nashville is it is that, right? There's a joke, and you've heard it too. You know, if you're in that room and you say anything, it's a word for a third, because usually there's three writers.
In case of our cats, like it's
a word for a third.
Per for a third.
Yeah.
My cat likes to join the ranks.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, you know, we like to get that clear up front, and there are split sheets that one can do that. And when I first came here, I brought split sheets to my rights in Nashville, and people looked at me like I had two heads, because it's understood here. But if I were in LA, I'd bring a darn split sheet to my session.
You better.
It's different.
Right.
And get it all clarified when that song is written or after that song is written in the session. Get everybody to sign off on it. Literally put their signature on it before you leave that room.
And register your song right away with your PRO.
Yes.
Absolutely. It doesn't take that long to do, does it?
No,
You want to make sure that you get all the PRO information from all the writers. Mm-hmm. I know whenever I have a write, we have our Google Doc, and everybody puts in their PRO.
I have tried to chase down some of my co-writers from years ago that didn't do it, and they've ghosted me. I can't get it. I can't register the darn song. It's really hard, but you know that we usually do is a Google Doc, even when we're in the same room to co-write.
Google Docs, if you're not familiar, tell them about it.
It's free. It's a free service from Google. I'm sure we pay in attention and advertising dollars for Google, but they're analyzing every bit of everything we do, so we pay in a certain way. But it's free to use in terms of monetary stuff, and we use that to document, because you can go back through every version. From the moment someone started that document, and we try to get all that information, that PRO information. I ask people to put their contact information, their cell phones, their email, as well as their PRO writer's information and publishing information if they have a separate publisher.
And the real cool thing about Google Docs, that we're all co-writing a song here. I start a doc, and I send an email out to each of you.
Right.
You open it up, and now we can see in real time.
We are next to each other, and the nice part about that is that I can throw ideas in while you're singing and you're actually doing something, so I don't interrupt you.
Right.
But then you look down and go, love that line, and you start singing it. Or you go, I don't like that line, and you change it. And so really cool.
And it depends on your style. If you feel, if you're technical and you want to do that, that's just a great way. I was writing the other day, and I'm old school. I like a piece of paper and a
piece of paper
and a pen. Yep. And I get it. Some people are like it. I'll keep the Google Doc.
Yeah.
And what is your email address anyway? Because I'll mail it to you. You know.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So
and a good friend, Pussy LeBlanc. Yeah, she's really good at...
Not to mention any names, but Lucy LeBlanc.
Lucy LeBlanc.
Good friend.
Another prolific songwriter.
Another one, yeah.
All of us. She has a good way. She keeps track of what's the next steps, action items.
Oh, I love that. Because we often write songs and they sit in our hard drive. And Lucy's like, okay, who's going to do what by then? Who's going to record the work tape? Who's going to contact the producer if we decide to do a demo of this? And by what date? And then the next time we write, she goes back and looks at the old doc and says... Hey, you said you were going to contact so-and-so.
You forgot,
and
Lucy,
that session was done, it was out of my mind. And,
I forgot.
And so Lucy's great about that, and I think that's a really good use for that.
Wow.
Again, to follow up, because songs can slip through the cracks, especially when you write a fair amount.
Mm. It is a business. Yeah. We're leading at
it
the
is.
Business.
Let's get the business act together. You know, I used to be a therapist, and therapists are all flaky and feeling-oriented, you know, and they hated the business, the tax side, and getting those, you know, the legal entities. Songwriters are very much the same. We're so into our feelings and the creative act. All you have to do is just spend a little time getting your business act together. It doesn't have to be the major focus of your life, but if you don't do it, you are shooting yourself in the foot and leaving money on the table, to use two different metaphors.
And I want to say that there is another good reason why you do that song split sheet, and it's because some of our co-writers end up getting a publishing deal.
Yes.
And there you are, and they're trying to get their catalog together, and they're trying to be able to, you know, show their new publisher what they have. And if you don't have that, I mean, if you have a song split sheet, then you have a record, and that helps you a lot.
Yeah.
We're so serious songwriters here, people.
Now, when it comes to... go ahead.
Sorry, Dave. Yeah, no, I was going to say, you know, as a songwriter, I know that when I first started, you know, I didn't really understand how any of this worked. I just knew that I loved to write songs, and I wanted to write songs, and I wanted to release albums, and I wanted to release my work to the world.
Right.
But I really had no clue how any of it worked. And that was the foundation of this book, is because, you know, here in the U.S., like our healthcare system, it's all over the place, right? I mean, it's very disjointed. So that was what actually was the creative force behind this book, was you've got to click here. Well, I understand a little bit of this. Well, I need this, and it's all over the place, and it's overwhelming. So, as a songwriter, I knew nothing. That's the reason. So, going back to this, if you are a first, you're just getting into songwriting, or you've been in songwriting for years, this book really, really gives you a firm foundation in a very simple, easy to understand way. Because there are other resources out there.
It's amazing.
That are thousands of pages.
Like, if I ask you, if you want to do a cover song, can you just record it and put it out?
Can you?
Nope.
Got to get permission. Got to get a license.
But there is a way to do it. It's not that hard. And you need to do it. It's not that expensive, typically, either. And so there is a way to do that. You just need to know those simple things.
Get the book. The book. Where's it available?
Well,
Amazon.
Amazon. We prefer people to go to Amazon because we want to develop a little, you know, a little momentum with that. And if you leave a review.
Oh my God,
Nancy was saying she was talking to somebody who knew about that, and they said if you get 20 reviews, it'll make a difference. If you get 50 reviews, it'll make a major
difference.
So if you would be willing to do that, if you get the book, please just, again, it's like following up, you know, like Lucy does with the songs. Mm-hmm. Go back and put a little review. If you like the book, if you got some value out of it, if you made some money from it, go on and put a little review on there for us. That'll help other songwriters realize there's value. We'd really appreciate it.
And I'll tell you, it is very easy to read. And I know you think a lot of what we're doing is...
And there's a lot of pictures.
And you may be thinking this is going to be too confusing. It's not. They really spell it out for you in a nice way.
Okay.
Again, the book is called The Songwriter's Guide to Protecting Your Songs and Collecting Your Money. You need this if you're a serious songwriter, and if you're considering this as a business. It is a business. And, you know, it's like my friend Tony Kippins always used to say. He'd say, and he's British, I can't do the accent, but he'd say, it's not about the money. It's about the effing money.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to talk about money. Yeah. How about some money for nothing?
That's what I
want. Okay, you guys.
Go there.
I've got...
I wanted to ask
you. And your chicks for free?
And your chicks.
Money for nothing.
Chicks are optional in this one.
All right. Thanks, Nancy.
Totally different to the meaning of splits, right? I mean, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm going to say it out loud.
If you are out there writing songs, and even one person has recorded your song, you haven't even recorded your song, but one person has, you qualify to be as a publisher, because we are all self-administered songwriters. We are our own publisher.
And remember, that's 50% of the song.
Oh, that's right. You qualify to sign up for the NMPA.org, National Music Publisher Association. And
I haven't done
that.
This, I need to do that.
Okay, that is not quite, and right now is the time to do it. Okay.
Let's write that down. Say it again. What is it?
NMPA.
This is Chapter 7
National
of the Bark
Music
Bebop.
Publishers
Chapter 7.
Association.
Yep. Yeah, what's it say again? What's it?
National Music Publishers Association. Is it the last?
That's right. And
why is that important?
This is important because this is David Israelite, who ever since the MMA was passed, companies like Peloton have started using Spotify and things like that in their product.
Yeah.
And the NMPA went and said, you can't just be using that music without paying these songwriters.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a special use. Spotify is one thing, but using Spotify in a product is something different.
Wow.
And that's right. So it gave them license to go to these companies, as well as to create a way for these publishers or these companies to pay songwriters. And again, the issue is, we can't send money to various publishers. We'll spend all our time. They said, do a licensing deal with us and all of your songwriters. We will distribute the money to them. Therefore, I signed up for the NMPA. Uh-huh. And during the pandemic, I got my first two checks that year. I got a check for $2,800.
Oh my goodness!
I almost fell on the floor just for it's called an opt-in agreement. Just as a member, when they do a deal with some company like Snapchat or. Or Peloton.
There's that kind of money that you can get, and they'll do your taxes for free.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. The NMP,
H&R Block.
Okay, wait. If you live in Nashville or LA and you're a songwriter / publisher, they will give you a $600 credit to get your publishing.
Yours are more complicated. You won't get it all covered.
So,
whoa!
And yes, so the NMPA is a fantastic organization. And I mean, I have not gotten two $2,800 checks. I only got one, but now it's more like that was probably some catch up or something. Yeah. No, but I usually make it costs $100 a year, but I usually make, $400 or $500.
Way more back. But also, they are advocating for us at the federal level, and they're getting us more money, which they did when that legislation called the MMA passed a few years ago. That organization and NSAI and a few other organizations, SONA and a few other people, went and got us more money because they had members that have membership fees that could support them going to Washington and doing that lobby.
Right. So go do Chapter 7. We'll tell you there's a couple of music reports. So there's a couple of organizations. It is kind of like money for nothing, you guys. They'll send you an agreement that says you opt in, and I go, yes, it takes 5 minutes to do it. And I'm like, this is
five minutes. Good hourly rate.
Okay.
Now, do you have to register as a publishing company as well with your PRO?
Do an ASCAP. You don't have to in BMI.
Oh, is that?
I did in BMI right away.
I did too, and I didn't need to. But in ASCAP, you'll only get half your money.
Right.
Mm. Exactly.
Wow. Right. You as ASCAP, you have to, unless you only care about getting half of your money. I'm like, somebody, I think you want all of your money, not halvesies, holesies.
Holesies.
I knew a guy. He's on an airplane with an artist. And he had some cuts before, and he said, we're getting ready to do an album. Do you have any new stuff? He goes, I just wrote this. And he gave him a cassette. And he was the sole writer. He had all his publishing, and it went to number one for a few weeks. Dude made a lot of money.
That's a lot of money right there.
So,
and if you didn't have a separate thing and you were an ASCAP, you would miss half that money.
That's right.
And
that's right.
I mean, simple things, just what Nancy was saying. Yeah, I mean,
simple things.
That it didn't take that long. No. Just sit down and do it. Get it done one time, and then you've got it for the future.
And it's just knowing that you need to do it.
Nobody told us that when we arrived here.
They should pass out this book to new songwriters getting off the bus.
Yes.
Getting off Southwest Airlines.
Because you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah. Just have Nashville Tourist Association say, you're a songwriter? You need that book. We'll get them to buy thousands of copies.
And that would be great.
That would be good. And they can make free parking for songwriters in Nashville, too. That's another thing.
Not just songwriters. All musicians, I think.
All musicians, because you go downtown and you go play and you lose money.
You do. $25 to park. I got $8 in tips.
Yeah, that's right.
And I had a beer, so...
Yeah, that's right.
And they just recently added parking stations all throughout Nashville now.
Yeah, it used to be you could find some cheap, find either cheap.
Not anymore. And it's 24 hours.
Well, here's the other thing. The Musicians Union just negotiated a discount for musicians to park in Nashville. At certain QR code places that you park. They just negotiated, so we should find out about that. I just heard that the other day with one of my coworkers.
That's good. I want to find out about that.
And maybe the NMPA did it, too. We should find out.
A lot of places will validate your parking, you know.
Yeah.
Commodore Grill does that. They validate.
I'm a therapist. I can validate you as a human being.
We all need more validation.
Yeah, I can give validation.
Okay,
but you'll still have to pay for parking.
But how does that make you feel?
How does it make you feel to pay $25 for parking?
How does that make you feel? Nancy, I'm sorry. You had a
point. Okay, tip of the week for parking in Nashville.
Okay.
Wherever it says happy parking, do not go there.
Don't go there. You will not be happy.
I will not lead to happiness. Okay, good.
The only happy people there are the owners. Right?
I'm happy parking.
Or Uber it.
Uber it. That's smart.
Uber's getting expensive.
Because you will be supporting songwriters if you Uber, I guarantee. Uber driver will be a songwriter. Guaranteed. I've met so many songwriters driving Uber and Lyft.
Oh my God.
And being bartenders.
I used to drive, and then Lower Broadway.
Yeah.
Turn me against driving Uber.
Oh man. That'll do
it. I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah. Driving down Lower Broadway.
Oh, yeah, it's a hornet's nest.
And then today you got to worry about chairs falling from
No kidding.
Okay, so we diverge, and I do want to say, because I know we're running out of time.
Yeah, we really are.
There is this chapter in this book. It's called Your Publisher Playbook.
Mm.
Okay, if you get to the point where someone wants to record your song and distribute it, there is a step-by-step thing that it will tell you exactly what to do. And it isn't, you know, yes, do the mechanical license, and we show you how to do the mechanical license. But also there's... you know, what is on the PRO already? You need to make sure the PRO knows that so-and-so, Bailey Zimmern just, you know, recorded my song.
Yeah.
Okay, you need to send a revision over there and make sure that they know that, you know, what's going on with your song, like all the organizations. So that's like a step-by-step all the way through
what to do.
You know, the PRO, the MLC, the Sound Exchange. I mean, there is a step-by-step, you know.
My first Nashville cut, I didn't have a clue. I wish this book existed.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to do. I called a songwriter friend. I go, what do we do? Yeah, I know you've done a lot of these. What's, you know, and he kind of stepped me through it. But, but you need the book.
You need the book.
And plus, too, Dave, you know, in Chapter 9, there's also a good resource. There's good information there. Mm-hmm. That if you want to get develop yourself more as a writer, there's a lot of different organizations. Discover Sooner being
Discover Sooner.
Yes, and Nancy's company, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But there's others as well. So there's a lot of other information.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So this book is a really good general all around. Resource if you're a songwriter.
You know, we found that all three of us had belonged to NSAI.
That's right. Nashville Songwriters Association.
Global Songwriters with Cherise Voltore, Discover Sooner, and Songtown.
I need to join Song. I've never...
I've learned so much from Songtown.
It's amazing.
That's how we connect.
Yeah. Yeah, we connected. Actually, all of the different the resources, the links that are in the book.
Awesome.
Like for Brent Baxter, Songwriting Pro, we've got Barbara Cloyd, Flavor Publisher.
It's amazing.
All of those, I've actually done all of those.
Yeah.
So I mean.
And you know, you buy the book and we'll give you updates on a website that Nancy worked her buns off to create and made
Yeah, Nancy worked really hard on that.
So thank you. QR code, first page of the book.
QR code, to go up there and we'll update it all the time because the laws are always changing and the procedures really are always changing. Yeah. So we got to keep it up to date. We knew it would be out of date. Some small pieces of it would be out of date sometime and we'd have new resources.
Right.
And in Nashville, you know, it's a community.
Yeah.
And so that webpage as a resource, you know, that this is how you can stay connected to this community.
Right.
In the Songwriter's Guide community.
We're going to have to leave it, but before we go, and I'm sorry we didn't get to do any music today, and this is the first podcast that we've done, I think we've had no music, but I think this was so important to get this information out there. And the last thing I want to leave you with is Discover Sooner, and I want you to tell everybody about your wonderful community and how to join.
Okay, well, thanks so much for making that opening, Dave. Okay, Discover Sooner. You know, when I got to town, it was just like you knock on a lot of doors and they just stay locked. And there's no way to meet anybody. And then if you do meet a publisher and they like your song, oh my God, you're walking on cloud nine. And it's just it's tough to break into. And I want to tell you all that it's just as tough for the industry itself. They see all kinds of doors. No matter how high you are, there's always a door higher here in the South. So, like, we got to start somewhere. So Discover Sooner, it's everything that I ever wanted myself as a songwriter. Mm-hmm. I can pitch my songs once a month. We put a new publisher in front of people that they will meet online. They will actually be able to speak a word or two. So if you ended up seeing them, you know, that publisher, you know, at some writer's night, you can say, hey, I pitched my song to you or something.
That's right.
So there's a monthly pitch. And then we have some really special programs where we do a long-term hookup, so to speak, with a publisher writer experience that Leslie and I, during the pandemic, I'm sitting on the porch and, you know, like, when we went through all the things in town that, you know, songwriters can do, and we just tried to design a great program that would allow, you know, a real long-term relationship to develop. And both of these guys have been a part of that program from time
to
time.
And Nancy brought it to life.
Great stuff.
And, we have a sync challenge, which, you know, we actually have people who we got 8 songs placed in a movie. And we're very excited about
that's awesome.
And it just
awesome.
Keeps it getting better. These kinds of things that we're doing, it's just all the things that songwriters need to, you know, grow themselves or be put in a position where they can see where the bar is. We all know, we went to pitch meetings when we first got there and we're like, oh, that's great. Oh, my song sucks.
The bar is way higher now.
The bar is higher.
I can barely see it from here.
But the first time one of those pitch sections that they took your song, you're like,
oh my God.
I'm making some progress.
Oh, you're on cloud nine. You're like,
yes, you are.
I'm getting, the big time.
Keith Urban's going to cut my song next week. Exactly. I'm sure of it.
Get some champagne here.
Yeah, there you go.
And then you don't hear from them ever again.
Yeah, that's
you realize
right.
That.
Oh, you had to just throw that down here. Right.
You had your momentary dopamine hit. Well, thank you, Dave, for having
Bill,
us.
Bill, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Success to all of you. And
thank you so much
for taking the time. And thank you for this book. Go to Amazon and order The Songwriter's Guide to Protecting Your Songs and Collecting Your Money by Bill O'Hanlon, Nancy Deckett, and Leslie Bowe, our guests on the Songwriter Connection today. Thank you, guys. Valuable stuff.
So
appreciate what you did.
Thank you for listening to the Songwriter Connection podcast. Find us on social media at Songwriter Connection. Also, listen to Dave Lanahan's Nashville Connections radio show. It streams live every Friday morning on WOBL and WNOI. Look for us on Facebook and YouTube. See you next time on Songwriter Connection.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.